Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
All right. Well, listen, the first thing I want you to know about me as kind of the new guy is I love being a United Methodist. And I'm humbled to be a clergy in God's church. I come from a Christian home, and we have this really funny saying in our family. If there's one in every crowd, and if you don't know who that is, then you are probably it. And so when it comes to church, I am it in my family. See, the rest of them are all Southern Baptist. And I'm the only Methodist with Rachel and I. And so I have to tell you this. That is why I have vowed my revenge on them. And I have filled this church's nursery with our children. Little United Methodists just running around all over the place. I'm just kidding. God's grace is sufficient. I'm really not that bad. I love Baptists. I'm simply partial sometimes to have a sermon. There's one being preached right now by Courtney over in the bridge. And I bet she's really getting with it. But I don't want to digress here. Both of my grandfathers were Baptist preachers. Most of you probably did not know that. They were terrific men of God. They baptized people all the way from Arkansas over through Texas, across Arizona, New Mexico, and California, which is where one of my grandfathers is from. They were both very influential in my own personal faith. In fact, I was baptized in the Baptist church as a little boy, and that is because my neighbor was their church organist, and she invited me to church. She said, look, all the kids pile up in my station wagon, we go to church, and then we go get ice cream. Now, it really wasn't that simple, but this lady also ended up teaching me how to play the piano and sing, and so my childhood, what you need to know, was very rich in the traditional style of worship, and this boy loves me some hymns. You know what I'm saying? I love some hymns. I love singing Victory in Jesus. I would stand in the front row, and I would sing that at the top of my lungs. I loved Rock of Ages. I loved How Great Thou Art, and still to this day, one of my favorite worship songs of all time is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. There's just something about that one that just resonates and shakes me to my very core, and now when I was growing up in the church at this point, it was the late 70s, and a new fresh movement of God's Spirit in the church resulted in brand new Christian music and Christian artists, and that's what we refer to today as contemporary worship style. That began to take shape back then, but I want you to notice what I said there. A new, fresh movement of God's Spirit led to new music and new Christian artists. God moved first, and then new worship resulted. God goes first, and we follow. It was also kind of the beginning of the era of the megachurch. And this church is largely kind of part of that ministry that happened back then. And so we can be grateful that we're standing on the shoulders of those who came before us. But wait, are we grateful? You know, this new contemporary Christian trend was met with rigorous disapproval from the universal church, from much of the universal church. And so it didn't look or sound like what the church was used to, and the young people seemed more apt to embrace it. And many pastors, including the pastor at the church that I attended at the time, absolutely did not approve of it. And in his fervor to bust my chops for liking it, along with many of my classmates and friends, he ultimately hurt me so deeply that I left the church completely for nearly 2 decades. And I wasn't the only one. In fact, I was so turned off by that experience and so shaken by the hateful attitudes and the wicked words of church people, I almost missed God's calling on my life completely. Now, This reason was that neither the church nor I understood at that time the essence of our worship. Now, this is serious stuff to me. I mean, do you understand how dangerously close I came to eternal separation from God? Back then, the Baptist preacher called it the lake of fire. I still cannot believe that I came that close to that kind of peril. Now hear me. As your new worship and arts pastor, that cannot in good conscience happen here, ever. It's not okay. And the reason why I'm so serious about this is that when we have conversations with each other and we discuss worship here and in our small groups, we simply must answer the most important question, which is, what is it the essence, the core, the heart, the foundation, the soul of our worship at Stonebridge United Methodist Church? And when we say our worship, that has to be worship that is radically inclusive. It means it includes young people, it includes youth, it includes young adults, and empty nesters, and retirees, and elderly. But it also includes who we do not see here. It includes those who are outside here, who have not yet found their way into a church. And we need to make it about that. So, what is the essence of our worship? That's the question. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we just ask that you teach us in this moment and reveal yourself and your truth to us, God, through your word and from the breath of your mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture passage this morning is a very familiar one. It comes from the Gospel of John chapter 4, and we typically think of these verses in terms of, it's the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, but we focus a lot on the first half of this and not so much on the second half of this passage, but we're going to be taking a look at this starting in verse 19. Now, Jesus has gone out of his way to have this conversation with a Samaritan woman. He has literally gone out of his way. It's noticeable, folks, that Jesus also goes out of his way to have a conversation with us. These words weren't just for back then. It's also for today. The woman at the well, she has a moral problem. And Jesus has called her out on this. She has been married 5 times, and the man that she's living with right now is not her husband. But you see, she doesn't want to talk about what's important. She wants to sidestep that conversation, and she tries to do that with a theological question. And we must ask ourselves this morning if we do the same thing when it comes to our discussion of worship. She sees the Messiah as the answer to everything. She is looking forward to when the Christ will come, and yet Christ is standing right in front of her. I cannot help if this doesn't speak into the universal church and into our church today. Let's pick it up. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do, for salvation is from the Jews." Now, all that means is that the Messiah is a Jew. "Yet a time is coming and has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks." Now, this points to the fact that a new age has been established where people can worship God in every place because of the Holy Spirit and because the Spirit dwells within them. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Verse 24. God's people everywhere now will be able to worship God. They are the temple where God dwells. In 25, the woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus declares, I am the one speaking to you. I am he. Now, Jesus is serious at this point because he's not saying, I am the bread of life, I am the vine. In this sense of how Jesus says this, he has revealed that he is God. He is God, and God is made visible and made known to this woman. And Jesus is flat out telling her, I am the divine one. Now, this word from the book of Isaiah, this comes from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. The Lord is addressing the despondency, the unhappiness of God's people, and reminding them that God's attention is keener than that of a mother to her child. God is calling us to gaze upon God's open hands, reminding us of God's kingdom to come. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what is the essence of our worship at Stonebridge United Methodist Church? Now, I don't know if you've had these kinds of experience that I described earlier, or if you've ever been in conversation that involves anything to do with worship styles and preferences. But if you have, you probably know this. Sometimes these conversations get very passionate and very heated even. I've seen them. And so before we unsystematically and messily dive into the ones that we're going to have around here, I want to make sure what we're considering when we have them. Now, Bruce Leifblad, he's a professor of church music and worship, said this. Now, listen. In church history, no major renewal has ever come from forms and formats. And so it is today. The great need of the church today is neither to cling to the old or to create the new. Our greatest need today is to recover the priority of God in our worship, in the whole life of our worship. That is the priority. His words sound familiar, don't they? They sound just like the words that Jesus said in the conversation when the woman who had a moral problem wanted to sidestep the issue. Jesus put that conversation back on track, despite her attempt to sidetrack it with a discussion about ritual. And Jesus said these two things: a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor on Jerusalem. And Jesus also said a time is coming and has come now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Those are the kinds of worshipers, according to Jesus Christ, that the Father seeks. And in light of the word of our Lord, when we are talking about worship at Stonebridge United Methodist Church, and I certainly believe we should talk about that, we must include in the conversation the question, do we want to be righteous or do we just want to be right? What I mean is that our congregations in North America are suffering. And because of the segmentation and the division of the church, we have to ask ourselves as responsible believers if we have our focus on the righteous thing, which is living out our daily lives in worship to the triune God. Amen? Or if the truth of the matter may be that we have lost our first love and we're trying to sidestep the more important question, just like the Samaritan woman did at the well, a place where we can all agree is that we must be sure to evaluate any conversation that we have, not setting our own standards, but setting them to the standards of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? If we as believers aren't focusing our entire lives on worshiping God, then we have lost our first love. That is why we must ask ourselves today and every day, what is the essence of our worship? We need to ask that for us both individually and corporately. Now, what did Jesus, the Son of God, have to say? Jesus tells the woman at the well that, number one, place is not important. And that's good news. That means people outside of here this morning can worship. So our friends over at the Bridge, our friends here in the community at other denominations, our friends nationwide and across the world, they can all worship because place doesn't matter. Our worship can be added to theirs, in fact, so that this world is shaking this Sunday morning with a resounding worship and praise for the triune God. But we are also called to live out our worship daily. And what that means, friends, is that we can spend 80 minutes here together this morning, and that's important. But let me tell you, there are 10,000 more minutes in this week. And those are just as important as the 80 minutes that we spend here. Agreed? Jesus, after all, reminds us that God meets with those who worship in spirit and in truth. So let's talk about spirit and truth. Jesus said the time is coming and is already here when worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for anyone who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's out of God's word. God is spirit means that God is not a physical being limited to one place. God is also, friends, not limited to one denomination. That gives me hope for the rest of my Baptist family. And although we find this shocking, God is also not limited to one worship style, and that's good news for the folks over at the Bridge this morning. God is present everywhere and can be worshiped anywhere at any time. It is not where we worship or whether the songs we sing are hymns or worship and praise tunes. What counts is how we worship. It's a matter of the heart. The more important question for us to discuss at Stonebridge United Methodist Church is our worship genuine and true? Do we have the Holy Spirit's help? How does the Holy Spirit help us? Well, friends, I'm glad you asked. The Holy Spirit prays for us. Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. I just want to lift my hand and say, God, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Spirit. It's alive and well among us. The Holy Spirit also teaches us the words of Jesus Christ. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, according to John 14:26, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Thank you, Holy Father, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Father. Because Jesus helps us to receive the Word. And the Holy Spirit helps us to receive the teaching in our spirit. The Holy Spirit also tells us that we're loved, like that passage from Isaiah. We're loved. God's keen love for us, greater than that of a mother. Now, I know how Rachel loves our children. That's awesome. God's love, according to Romans 5:5, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Thank you, God, for the gift of your Spirit and of your love and of your grace. Amen. The Spirit is praying for you, teaching you, and affirming God's love for you. And when you are offering your worship and praise in light of all of this, you are offering God genuine, true worship. But Spirit is only half of what Jesus says, and we must consider truth in our worship as well. This is not just truth in the sense of honesty, although that certainly is part of it. But this type of truth involves integrity, the root word being integral. Integral. It's the worship that encompasses the never-changing freedom found in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is the integration of the triune God in our hearts and lived out in our daily lives. It doesn't get nasty when it gets tested. It actually gains strength under pressure. It is the fellowship that you and I have with the Godhead that challenges us to submit to its authority. When we've gotten it right, it won't matter, friends, if we are singing the Chinese phone book in here on a Sunday, because we will have completely yielded to the activity of God in our lives. Amen. We will be completely obedient to the mission of making disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. But church, listen up. If we get this part wrong, it won't matter how many disciples of Jesus Christ that we make, because if we invite them into an infighting, hateful environment where we are focused on the wrong things and we are disoriented because we do not understand the essence of our worship, they aren't going to be staying around much. They'll leave. They aren't going to be a loyal follower of Jesus Christ if we aren't loyal to Jesus Christ. They are not going to be loyal to the church if we are not loyal to ourselves and the triune God. We have to love them, and we have to love each other well. Amen? So what if instead of replacing our first love, the triune God, with our respective preferences, whatever those may be, and style and place and all of that, with the business of cultivating a culture of worship at Stonebridge that does not avoid the essence of our worship, rather, it insists that we offer corporate worship that the Heavenly Father seeks. Jesus says that's worship in spirit and in truth. Now, in closing, today, hundreds, if not thousands, of churches are in conflict. Over the past four decades, music has become a significant issue. That's because we've come to worship it more than we've worshiped the triune God. And listen, while much of the conversation wants to be about changing worship styles, picking the right venue, and singing the right songs, they are not the true center of the conflict. In fact, the conflict is exactly the same that it was in the day of Jesus. Believers who are not focusing their daily lives on worshiping God may be losing their first love. And it's easy to do, friends. I am preaching to myself here, especially when we're trying to raise a family, work on our career, do church work, maintain our stuff, become more educated. The list goes on and on. But when we lose our first love, we tend to want to replace it with a bunch of rules and rituals. And that is human nature today. And it was human nature in the Samaritan woman's time. The crisis in worship today across North America is not a crisis of form or format. When we worship traditional, contemporary, or blended modern styles, it doesn't make a difference. It's not the size of the congregation or the building that we worship in. If we will understand and address this in our ministries and be effective, which is why I'm here, we will not only invite God to inhabit the praise and worship that we offer, but we will be true to our mission to reach the world for Jesus Christ and transform it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And with that aim, all kinds of new Christian music and artists might be born right here out of our congregation. Amen? Wouldn't that be awesome? If the next generation of worship was standing on our shoulders. That's what I want for my kids over in the nursery. What if we work together to cultivate a corporate worship where children aren't thinking about buildings and styles of song, but consistently exalting the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? What if we expect the Godhead to inhabit our worship? And what if we include God deeply in every aspect of our lives? What if the words out of our mouths are life-giving? What if the words breathed the breath of God over God's children. Will we do that? Will we do that? Let me tell you about a congregation that did. One that took a weary, tired, rebellious teenager turned man who had not darkened the doorway of a church in 20 years. The odds were against him because, you see, if you do not come to know Jesus Christ by the time you're 18, the statistics are against you. Most people who do not have a relationship with Christ by that time, they don't ever come to know Christ. That's eternal separation from God, folks. We can't do that. But a United Methodist Church that promised open hearts, open doors, and open minds delivered. They delivered. Their music was contemporary. It was even secular sometimes. We sang hymns too. It wasn't in a church building. The worship style did not matter because their worship was in spirit and in truth. And that guy just delivered the message this morning. It was me. And that church worked together with God to help save my life. The essence of worship at Stonebridge United Methodist Church is a focus on the triune God. That's where I want to lead the worship and arts program. To what God wants. And to know what God is doing. That is my heart as your pastor of worship and arts. You and I must work together to continually rediscover a hunger for the presence of God in every aspect of our lives. It is not contained to Sunday mornings. The presence of the triune God must invade every aspect of our lives. And our worship of the triune God is our recognition of God's activity among us. That must be woven into the fabric of our worship culture. Friends, God has carved us in the palm of God's hands. God knows us completely. God is always active in our lives. Always. So let's worship well. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.